I think we're live. Hold on, let me mute this. Are we live, guys? Can you see us?
My God. Wow.
We really didn't want to start 2024 off this way. All right, guys. We are so sorry for the delay, but please let us know in the chat that you can hear us and that you can see us. If you can drop some number ones on the chat and let us know. Hi, guys. Hi. Oh, I see all of our friends in the chat. I've been waiting for this like Christmas day. We're so back. We're so back, baby.
We're so back.
We're so back, baby. Guys, welcome to the first episode of Mostly Peaceful Latinas 2024. I'm your host, Bella.
And I'm Linda.
And before we get started, guys, I know you had been waiting in the chat for some time, but show us some support. Smash that like button. Interact in the chat. We have a lot to talk about and vent about. You guys cannot imagine how difficult this has been for us.
Yeah.
I need to know.
Very difficult.
Not having a place to come out and vent our frustrations over the last couple of months has been... You guys got to help me out with the camera here because you're killing me. Is it this one or this one?
No, it's...
Okay. All right. Okay. guys, we've been the last couple of months with nowhere to vent, and we're so glad that we're here because there is a lot to talk about.
We've been really upset. Actually, we talk, you know, we stay on the phone for hours, a lot of times cleaning, doing our Bella's a housewife stuff.
Yeah.
So we'll vent to each other and scream in the mornings and stuff like that. But we have a lot to cover, including obviously what you guys have seen from the current 2024 presidential election, which is that Trump dominated both the Iowa caucus and then New Hampshire's race.
So I think he's the first candidate to ever do it to win both Iowa and win New Hampshire as well. And then we have South Carolina coming up real soon. Before South Carolina, we have Nevada. Nobody's talking about Nevada because I think they already defaulted the win to Trump in Nevada. But we're really so excited to come out here and gloat a little bit because, you know, we've been on hiatus for 6 months.
We have.
That's a long time. You know, we've been doing things. We've been busy with life. But, you know, this year's really going to be a priority to make sure that we put out content for you guys. But without further ado, let's talk a little bit about the New Hampshire and the Iowa win. And kind of what the biggest one for us is that Linda and I had been talking probably since about October of 2022 about the Ron DeSantis shadow campaign for presidency, where we were gaslit for months being told he's not gonna run. You guys are just creating division.
That's how it started. That's right. He's not gonna run.
I forgot about that stage. You don't remember that whole stage where he's not gonna run. You guys are just creating division. You used to love DeSantis. Yeah. Anyways, per usual, people were upset at us for speaking the truth. So DeSantis has dropped out of the race. We've seen that the online force that was behind him, this toxic campaign that was behind Ron DeSantis on Twitter, what we've now seen is since Ron DeSantis has dropped out of the race is that we've now seen a shift into the narrative where now it's no longer about we want DeSantis to be the candidate. We want DeSantis to represent the party. Now it wasn't DeSantis, so we're just not going to vote. We want the Republican Party to burn.
They're also actually going for Kennedy. I saw a few DeSantis supporters today talk about what really is the difference between voting for somebody like Kennedy and voting for somebody like Trump or somebody like Biden, because they claim that Trump is the New York Democrat from the 80s. Mm-hmm. So they're like, well, Kennedy really could just be like a Democrat from the 80s as well. So I think that a lot of it is just like their revenge against Trump, even though Trump has done absolutely nothing. And it goes to say what I've been saying about Twitter. I like Twitter. I think it's a great place. I think it's a really funny place. But I think Twitter
Did you just say Twitter is a great place, Linda?
Well, it is. It's funny. Like, think about the things that you come across funny. There's a lot of funny stuff that you're like, it's not even politics related, just anything. And it's just so funny. Like, the other day, there was a discourse about, like, there's a child here, but there was a discourse about like body hair. Do you remember when I sent it to you?
Yes.
Okay. Anyways, there's like a lot of funny stuff. Anyways, I think that there's a lot. The X or Twitter serves also as a right-wing misinformation place. And you can see it in the people that said, I voted for Trump twice, 2016, 2020, but I'm not going to give him a vote again, even though DeSantis is not in the race again. And a lot of it is just like, they're like, and then want to destroy Trump, even though Trump has done nothing to these people.
Well, then that's just the thing. Like, I voted for Trump twice, but I'm not going to vote for him again because he's twice divorced.
Right.
Or he held a gay flag. Or they put a gay flag. He held a gay flag. And, you know, Jeffrey Epstein used to visit Mar-a-Lago. And it's like, well, hold the fuck up. Like, this is like 2016, 2020 shattered narrative.
Yeah.
There's no way you're going to convince me that you voted for Trump in 2016 and 2020 and you didn't think that he was too pro-LGBT or that he was, you know, that the divorce was an issue, the grab him by the pussy wasn't an issue. Like, none of that was an issue in 2016 or 2020. But now, magically, in 2024, you'd rather see Joe Biden in the White House than see Donald Trump, which I think it proves what Linda and I have been saying for a very long time, which is that this is has all been public relations by the UNIP party to slow down MAGA's momentum. And you can see that by the death spiral that the DeSantis supporters have now taken, where they'd rather see the Republican Party crash and burn than to see another Trump presidency.
I don't think it's a Republican Party. Their issue is that MAGA has taken the Republican Party and they want to make sure that Trump and MAGA goes away because MAGA's mean on Twitter.
Aww.
Because Team Dilly made them cry because we posted a meme. Do you guys remember the meme? I know Lily's on the chat. I see a couple of our Twitter followers. The meme of the Santa supporters that I told them I was going to put him in jail when we got back. And they took it seriously and they made it go viral. And then they were crying about it for weeks at a time, saying that I was going to put him in jail. And like, I wanted to persecute our political opposition. Obviously, that was a joke. Like,
it wasn't a joke. Serious,
you know, weirdos. It wasn't. But they
but these people are unhinged. They're never Trumpers. Yeah. These people are paid to be the opposition that they are. It's not organic. And you can tell by how it is that they shift. And also, I tell Linda every morning I wake up and I'm so triggered because they all complain about being shadow banned. None of you are shadow banned. Not a single one of you is shadow banned because I can't stop having your content recommended to me no matter how much I don't want to see it. So keeping that in mind, you're not shadow banned. And it seems like every single morning they wake up and you can just tell that like the talking points memo dropped because they're all have the same talking points. They're all posting the same talking point. Right. And then that lasts for 2 or 3 days and then they move on to the next talking point.
Well, you know, it is what it is, but enough of the Sims. And I think that,
well, I mean, that's it. I think that we totally won. Here's the thing. And here's the real message that the Sims haven't grasped.
Enough of the Sims.
This is something that I've been telling Linda for quite some time, because we say all the time, it's like, if it was Trump supporters say all the time, if it wasn't Trump, people were just not going to vote. But here's what DeSantis supporters don't understand, or the Twitter DeSantis supporters don't understand. First of all, you are a minority.
You are
a very small minority. The percentage of people that are represented by preferring DeSantis make up a minority of the Republican Party. And then within that already minority, there is only a very small minority of you that are as unhinged as we are. MAGA is already unhinged. 2020 already happened to us. Mm-hmm. We already had to deal with the repercussions of 2020. We know what that's like. And as a result, we are lunatics. We really will sit out an election. And it won't be one, two, or a handful of us. It will be an entire party that would rather sit out than to watch Donald Trump have a primary taken from him again. Neither here nor there. Point of the matter is, y'all ain't crazy like us. Y'all ain't unhinged like us. Stop trying to act us. Even if all five of you are like, even if all five of you decide that you want to stay home, it's not going to make a lick of difference. MAGA 2024. All right.
I just wanted to say thank you, Adam, with the first contribution of the night. And he says, welcome back, ladies. You have been greatly missed. I'm so glad. I'm so glad you got some well-deserved rest. Looking forward to all of our brilliant analysis and savagery and PL will bring this election year. We all love and appreciate you. You too, so much. Thank you so much, Adam. You are amazing per usual. Thank you for your Christmas gift as well. We always appreciate you. Of course, you are, you know, always our top donor. You know, we were talking about Adam on our break.
We talk about Adam on our break.
We love Adam. We love you guys.
We were just talking today how like our followers really take like the ultimate W.
Yeah.
Because you guys aren't triggered by everything. Everybody's so triggered by us, except our followers. Yeah. Our followers think that we're hilarious.
Also, please don't forget to push that like button so we can get out the algorithm. And with that being said, one of the first things that we, you know, we cover the Iowa caucus, but one of the first things that we talked about last year, actually in 2022, also last year and happening right now, is the fact that Biden is making his entire campaign about Roe v. Wade. In fact, 2 or 3 days ago, they had their campaign launch, and that launch was reverse Roe. And we said this from the minute that the Roe v. Wade stuff was leaked, before it was even overturned, that this was that they were going to use to try to get that vote.
These are the BLM riots of 2020, right? It's going to be women's
reproductive rights, right? That's what the Democrats have branded abortion as. And so one of the things that during the last couple of months I realized is that whenever you talk to the pro-life movement about, hey, like, you guys already got a win, right? Mm-hmm. Which was the reverse of Roe v. Wade. It goes back to the states. Different laws have passed across Texas, Florida, Oklahoma, yada, yada, yada. And so whenever we say there's not going to be a federal ban, there's not going to be more than that, and Trump cannot run on that, or any president by that matter, these people come back and say, we don't want to compromise. You know, if you compromise, like, we'd rather lose, we'd rather compromise. It doesn't matter, because protecting life is the most important thing that we can do. And if we don't have that, then we don't have anything else. And it's just like, wait, hold on a second. You were promised for 50 years that there was going to be an overturn of Roe v. Wade. Bush promised it to you. Every single president promised it to you. Nobody got it done until Trump came around. The same guy that they say has had too many divorces, mm-hmm. had to pay a porn star, curses, is not the perfect Christian. That guy, whether it's luck, whether it's coincidence, three justices leave the bench for him to replace them with the people that overturned Roe v. Wade. And now you want to not support the guy that did this for your movement because he's a smart businessman that knows that we cannot win a federal election on a 6-week ban. Let me tell you something. After DeSantis signed that 6-week abortion ban or heartbeat ban in the back, like in the middle of the night behind everyone's backs, after he was elected, do you know how many people, Floridians, Republicans that voted for him, told her, we don't agree with this. Like, none of us voted for this. This is going too far. So whether you made them be the most pro-life person, no exceptions at all, not for rape, not for incest, not for anything. But the majority of the country doesn't see it that way, right? So on one side, we have the ego of the pro-lifers, not all of them. I don't want to generalize because there's a lot of them that do understand it. They know that. They're like, we're not going to win like this, right? Mm-hmm. But there's another side, which is what I like to say, it's the grifting side of the pro-life movement that needs to keep this going, wants to almost sabotage the 2024 election by trying to say whatever president we vote for has to promise a federal ban on abortion. So here comes Biden and says, I'm going to make my entire campaign about protecting women's rights. And he had a meeting or a task force. They have a task force now. What the hell does the Protecting Women Rights Task Force does? I didn't Google it. I should have done it. But I heard him say it out loud during his reproductive rights convention or meeting that he had 2 days ago at the White House. And he brought women and he brought doctors to talk about what they've experienced in places like Texas. And I'm like, do you guys understand what has happened since Roe v. Wade and how they're going to use it against us? And then here in Florida, 2 weeks ago, in a special election near Orlando in Orange County, right? Is that Orange County?
It actually in Osceola County.
In Osceola County,
a Democrat flipped a seat held by a Republican during a special election. By running on abortion and the insurance crisis. The Florida insurance crisis. For those of you that think that Ron DeSantis is a popular person here in Florida, I promise you that part of the reason why he's not going to see the race, why he was never going to see the race all the way through the midterms, is because he was never going to expose the loss of support that he had in his home state. Here's something, by the way, I don't hate the government. I'm not on the internet all the time, but I think it's important to express this about myself. Linda and I don't LARP. as being politically involved. It's not a LARP for us. It's not a grift on the internet. We're actually involved. So because we're actually involved on Saturday morning when most people are sleeping in, your kids are watching cartoons or whatever it is, I'm at community meetings, at election integrity meetings. I'm meeting with people in the community every single day of my life. Mm-hmm. And the one thing that I hear time and time again that has now been a trending topic over the last year or so is that Floridian activists do not support Ron DeSantis.
Yeah, they don't.
They don't support Ron DeSantis. He's been an absentee governor. And as a result of him being absent, mm-hmm. there has been ground gained by the Democrats. And he's been so busy fighting these culture wars that yeah. don't win elections that he has ignored what made him successful to begin with. Mm-hmm. One of the things that Ron DeSantis did in 2022 that made him very popular is that he had his ear to the ground of what local activists in Florida wanted. And as a result, he was able to deliver. How did he do that? Mm-hmm. By endorsing candidates in local races that represented mm-hmm. conservative values, by passing EOs and pushing for legislation that matched up with exactly what the activists were asking for. Right now, what we are seeing is that it's not just Florida and the special election as an example of that. We were just talking about Ohio.
Remember Ohio? They cemented it in their constitution, a women's right to choose, even though Ohio is a red state where Donald Trump won by I don't know how many points. And the voter turnout was so low in Ohio that conservatives were shocked. Because people don't, there's so many disenfranchised voters in the Republican Party that will not show up for local elections or state elections unless Donald Trump is in that ballot. Because they no longer believe in Mitch McConnell. They no longer believe in Kevin McCarthy when he was back in, or any of the representatives in Congress in Capitol Hill. They don't obviously believe they have a president because they believe that Joe Biden's not the legitimate president. So why are they going to participate in local elections? Nevertheless, in Ohio, in a red state, cemented in their constitution is the right for women to choose in a red state.
And when you look at the exit polls of that, Republican women, conservative mm-hmm. women also showed up, and not just conservative women, men. In fact, the highest demographic voting in favor of this were Black men. It wasn't yep. even women.
Yeah, it was actually Black men. It was actually black men.
So how long are conservatives going to continue to request that entire campaigns are based on the one topic that's for sure going to get elections lost? And here's the thing. It's like, well, we don't want to. What is it that they say about their morals? We don't want to compromise. We don't want to compromise on our
principles.
Morals. That's all fine and dandy. But here's principles. The thing: there is no compromise if you can't win an election.
Yeah.
If you cannot win an election, you cannot pass policy. Somebody said today, you've got it all wrong. It's not about winning elections. It's about saving souls. Yes, it is about saving souls.
Yes.
Guess what?
God, I wish I could save
you can save a souls. Lot of souls. You can bring people closer to saving souls when you pass legislation that helps protect life or
right.
when you pass legislation that can help protect, I don't know, more morality or whatever it may be. Like we're looking now at potential laws to stop the AI generation
right.
of indecent.
Which is our moving, going into the topic because everything is, before we took our break last year, we had a few controversial podcasts where some of you said, why are you even talking about the so-called manosphere, these red pill dudes, or focus on what these content creators that are not really like political have to say? And it was kind of like a forewarning to what's happening now, because as you guys see that the Democrats are going to make their entire campaign about women rights, right? For who? For women voters. So what are they going to do? Use whatever they can mm-hmm. to make sure that voters, women voters specifically, are going to go on their side. Because really, what else can Democrats run on? The border sucks. People are pissed off about the border. People are super pissed off about the economy. Gas mm-hmm. is near $4 in a state like Florida.
We're in wars.
Wages are low. There's two wars going on, one in Ukraine, one in the Middle East. And aside from everything else that happened, the Afghanistan withdrawal, Biden falling off the stairs, Kamala Harris, what the hell does she do? I don't know what she does at all. And so when you have that, the only thing that Democrats really have is to try to persuade that entire voting bloc to vote for them. And what are we doing to counter that? Nothing. We're just shitting on women all day, every day.
No, quite the opposite.
You guys see it on Twitter.
Which is the PSYOP. Which is the PSYOP, and what we haven't had an opportunity to talk about over the last couple of months, which is so important. There is an active operation to alienate women from the Republican Party. I don't know how much of it is or is orchestrated by the lizard people or by the feds, CIA. I don't know. I don't know how much of it is. But what is very clear is that there is an active effort to alienate women and make them feel unrepresented by the party. Because here's the thing. Again, when you're paying attention and when you're not a lunatic that's too far right or too far left, and you can just look at things with common sense like our followers do, because again, they're not triggered by our logic. One of the things that you realize is that Democrats had created the perfect environment for women to leave their party in search of something different. And they did that when they started, when they spent the last few years convincing us that men in skirts were women. A lot of women feel alienated by that message. In fact, hardcore feminists feel very alienated by that message. So what's happening is that we've got all of these now curious people to see what party can potentially represent me, because I don't feel represented by this, particularly women, which might I add, outnumber men in registered voters, outnumber men in showing up to vote, outnumber men in activism and community involvement. So now you've got all of these women that are peeking over to see like, well, what's going on with Republicans? Because they fight back and, you know, they want to keep women's spaces safe. They want to keep women's sports safe. So they're looking over at Republicans almost with curiosity, like, can I be represented by this party? Can I vote for a candidate in this party? And when they peek over, conservatives are talking about how women over 30 lose their value, how we're going to repeal your right to vote, how if you're not married, you're worthless, how if you're a career woman, you're of less value, how if you don't have children, you're of less value.
Well, and to be fair, a lot of these content creators are not necessarily like, you know, what you would call traditional conservative content creators, but it has spilled over onto the Republican content creator side, right? Because you have Candace Owens spewing a lot of these red pill talking points. I called her out and the tweet kind of went viral on Twitter when I said, you know, Candace, you know, telling women not to be boss babes, yada, yada, yada. Yet she, after a month of having a child, goes on a campaign with Vivek, right? Mm-hmm. Very boss babe of her. And I mean, I'm not gonna hate on her. Great opportunity. She has the money. She probably has a nanny, whatnot. I personally don't care. I'm all about women either staying home if they want to, whatever they want. Obviously, I'm fine with that. Mm-hmm. But you can have like you can be a hypocrite. And it's not just her. It's overall. You had, you know, Tucker Carlson and her interviewing Andrew Tate. Now, whether you think Andrew Tate is right or wrong and he's great and he's motivational for boys, there is a lot of stuff that he says that is controversial. There is a lot of lies that he has actually told.
Correct. Which is
we're not going
to, we don't need to elaborate on that, but it is, you do ask yourself a question, like here are Tucker Carlson and Candace Owens, which pride themselves on being investigative journalists, on being bearers of truth. And then they have Andrew Tate on and an e-pimp, because he's an
e-pimp.
That's
what he is.
Whether or not we're going to argue whether or not he's a trafficker, all right, well, whatever. But he's into glorifying sex work. He is an e-pimp. And they bring him on and they throw these softball questions at him and allow him to go on there and lie about the details of the case. And you have to wonder, what is the right associating themselves with? Because again, these same women that are frustrated, peeking at, and I really want to make this point. So many people are like, who cares about that base? Nobody cares. Those liberal women there, we don't care about their vote. No, every single vote counts. Do you guys understand that when you do a voter registration, when you sacrifice 6-7 hours of your day to go stand in a gas station so that you can sign up people so that they could vote, do you understand that the national average for that is one per hour? So you spend 6 hours there and you got six people to register. Do you guys understand the work that goes in, an hour of work invested into getting one person to register to vote? We cannot afford to just be like, we don't need those votes. Who cares about it? Who cares about liberal women? Who cares about these women? I care because in 2020, when our sole purpose was getting Donald Trump elected, in 2020, our movement had embraced sex workers that voted for Trump. Why? Because it was a vote. We are not in a position to treat our party like a VIP list that we give people access to. Oh, based on their lifestyle. Oh, you're not Christian enough. You're not conservative enough. You're not married. You don't have kids. You're not traditional. We cannot afford to do that. There are many Americans that are fiscally conservative and lead very progressive lives.
Yeah.
And we cannot afford to say your lifestyle doesn't match for my party and I don't want your vote. Because I hate to break it to you. Especially when
there's no laws being broken by anything.
Correct. Right? And I hate to break it to you, but this Christian conservative majority that you think exists doesn't. You are very much a minority, and conservatives would not be able to win any elections if it wasn't for moderate and independent voters coming to their side and boosting their vote. Because the conservative evangelical vote, while it's a big base, it's not enough to win elections alone.
It's not. And you know what? You know, sadly, something that conservatives do talk about is the changing demographics in this country, which at this point is something that it's going to happen. And, you know, whether people want it or not, like, it's going to be very hard to stop the inflow of all these people at the border. You're seeing what's going on right now. There's basically a standoff between the federal government, the Biden administration, and the state of Texas, because the Supreme Court ruled that the federal government can go in a certain area and remove the barbed wire that's, you know, preventing those illegals from coming in. And so now Texas is saying, well, no, we're going to stop it. We're going to disobey the federal government. And apparently Biden's giving them until tomorrow or something's going to happen. Whatever that something is, I don't know. And but my point is that with all these people coming in, what, like, and not just that, but in general, what else are you, like, how are you, you're not going to go back into a monarchy. Let's be real. Let's give the real scenarios. You're not going to revoke women's right to vote. No. It's not going to happen ever. Ever. It's not going to happen. It's not an option. It's not even a 5-year option for you. It's not a 10-year option
for you.
You're not going to revoke women's right to vote, no matter how much you cry about it.
There's no pathway. With that. There's no, even if you guys found legislators that approved it or whatever, you've got a Supreme Court packed with 5 women. Good luck.
No, well, their argument, which is that women are more emotional. You think that that's going to hold up in court? You think that's a president
that the Supreme Court, that suffer from depression, and that's not
No, well, you can actually make the argument for any minority not to vote. I can make the argument that blacks shouldn't vote because they mostly vote Democrat. I can make the argument that Jews shouldn't vote because Jewish people mostly vote Democrat. Mm-hmm. I can make them argument about almost every, and you know what? The other side can actually do it for white people. Mm-hmm. The other side can do it for whoever, for white men. Mm-hmm. So it's like you can pick and choose the demographics that you think are going to, you know, hurt you.
Oh, I'm going to get rid of this demographic so I can win elections. No, you gotta have a message and a branding that attracts people to your party.
And it's which is
the point of the entire episode is that we're so sick and tired of seeing Republicans get the messaging for women wrong. Time and time and time and time again.
And it's usually more of the influencers on Twitter, which, you know, have a lot of power in the media.
Well,
I would, it is influencers.
I do agree that it's a lot of influencers. But again, like, let's look at Republican legislation. Let's look at policy. Let's look at any policymaker in any state. Please tell me what stance is the Republican Party currently standing on that is attractive to women? Because the only one is protecting women's sports and women's spaces. There is nothing that Republicans in any state, any legislative are currently running on that provides any gender-based incentive to women over men. Meanwhile, Democrats are running entire campaigns on women's rights. We're not doing the opposite of that. So what's happening? that we're not going to attract when one party is telling them, I'm going to make my entire campaign around ensuring your rights and bettering women, the circumstances for women, and the other party's telling them, well, we just want to repeal your right to vote because then we'd get the outcome that we want in elections. You're never going to attract a woman vote like that. Mm-hmm. And to all of you that are like, we don't care, I go back to what I just told you. An hour spent trying to get registered voters, one person is considered successful an hour. So we're not in a position where we can say like, well, we don't care about every vote. We need to care about every single vote. Here's another thing that I was telling Linda today about how you know that this is a PSYOP, right? The last four
and
years.
Explain the PSYOP that she means, because I don't think you actually explained it just quickly.
Yes, go ahead.
The PSYOP that she means is trying to use social media, whether mm-hmm. bots, some of these influencers and content to purposely attack women and turn them against the conservative. And it's happening because, Lily, if you're still here, we have now radical feminists and feminists who follow us on Twitter.
Yeah.
And many of them who were Republican, actually Radical Femme Hitler, she was a Republican, and she's like, my yes. entire family is conservative. A lot of these women are actually conservatives. And so, but certain stuff and a lot of the legislation, the abortion stuff and whatnot, coming from the conservative side has completely turned them off, and they want nothing to do with that side. But they're not necessarily crazy liberal women.
Crazy liberal.
They're not. They're not sexualizing themselves. A lot of them don't right. believe in pornography. They think it should be banned. They don't believe in sex work. They think it should be banned. They're obviously against any of the LGBT stuff because they're radical feminists. So yeah. What do radical feminists stand for? Women. And that includes, you know, they're anti-surrogacy, they're anti-gay abortion. They're anti a lot of things that actually conservatives would agree on. The problem yeah. is when it comes to the abortion, they probably, you know, don't side with that. Number one. And then number two, it's kind of like one of this Christian woman that I follow, she tweeted it like an hour before we came here. She says, you know, I'm going to make an observation. And she quote tweeted Jordan Peterson and Ben Shapiro. Mm-hmm. And she goes, I'm just going to have to say that a lot of these big conservative influencers are just mean-spirited people.
Oh, remember when I told you that the other day?
Yeah.
I had an epiphany, and this is going to piss a lot of people off, and I genuinely do not care.
Yeah.
I had an epiphany the other day as somebody that's been a Democrat and has been a hardcore Republican and has experienced both in my life. I got to tell you guys something. My Democrat friends, my friends that are still very liberal, that, you know, they still go to like drag shows, and, you know, they believe in like open universal health care and letting immigrants through the borders. A lot of these people are driven by good intentions. They're not bad people. Mm-hmm. They believe in open borders because they believe in America and they want everybody to have access to the same, you know, things that are accessible to Americans. They believe in universal health care because they want everybody to have fair treatment and they don't want anybody to be forgotten. You know, they believe in LGBT rights because they want everybody to have the same amount of rights, and they think that drag queens deserve. It's whether or not they can be wrong, which is, you know, something that can be debated, isn't the what I'm presenting is that they're driven by emotions that are inherently just good. Mm-hmm. And they're having their own goodness used against them towards shitty politics. Conservatives, on the other hand, are very mean. And they right. get off they're of mean. Being mean.
Yeah.
And
you should pull up the Lauren Shen Taylor Swift.
I'm going to pull up the Lauren Chen Taylor Swift meme. Here we go. This is actually the perfect example.
So if you guys don't know, let me obviously you guys know that Taylor Swift is like the biggest yeah. thing. I actually believe that she's obviously being purposely pushed onto mm-hmm. us, onto women, because she is going to probably help Biden and the Democrats try to get reelected. And obviously she has a huge world tour going on. Women from all ages love her. She's like a girl's girl. And there's a lot of attack by conservatives, people like Jack Posobiec, Charlie Kirk, etc., against Taylor Swift for whatever reason. Because she's, you know, 34, successful, not married, has dated plenty of guys. So to them, she's a bad role model, because at this point she should have popped 15 children and not have her career. She should have just given that up for a family. And so this week, AI pictures of Taylor Swift were circulating Twitter, really disgusting pictures of her getting gangbanged at the, you know, supposedly AI Chiefs football game, aside from other very disgusting stuff. And this has been the new norm on Twitter, which if you guys follow me on Twitter, you know I've called it out, which is they use women and their gender for rage bait, right? To get paid on X, because if the more of this goes viral, the more hateful and nasty it is, the more viral it goes and the more money you're going to make. And so they use these pictures to basically sexualize and degrade Taylor Swift, which whether you like her politics or not, she's not necessarily like a very sexual person at all. It's not like she's, you know, very out there like other artists that are. And so this goes viral. The Swiftie army gets pissed as hell and they come after the men that were spreading these pictures. So much so that these men, one of them got suspended. I think the originator of the pictures got suspended. The other guy got a 12-hour suspension. He's super notorious on Twitter for doing this or worse, or just being extremely sexually charged, mostly on white women. That's something else that the girls brought up. They're white and they're like, why is it always white women? And so because of that, at the same time, there's a news circulating of that Taylor Swift has a stalker and he's been arrested like for the fifth time or something. He's been arrested a couple times. And so this is what Lauren Shen had to say.
The third time in 5 days, Taylor Swift's stalker has been arrested. This isn't, stalkers are bad. Stalkers are crazy.
Yeah, we've had stalkers. I've had stalkers.
Can cause you mental anguish, physical harm. Instead of getting the opportunity, and I'm going to get to the point because people are like, oh, well, she should just take it because she's a liberal and that's enough reason to make fun of her. Conservatives are very mean-spirited. And I'm sorry, and I hate to be the one to say it, but it is, because it's not about criticizing her politics. Even this post from Lauren Chen is closer to criticizing her politics. But when you've got, in fact, I don't have that clip. Charlie Kirk and Jack Posobiec had about there was somebody else on that stream. I don't remember who else it was. Had about a 30-minute to a 45-minute stream where they just raged about the Taylor Swift being named Time Most Influential Person, and how what they were raging on wasn't that she was a Democrat, is that she was single and over 30 and that she was going to have cats, and single women over 30 vote.
Right.
So when.
Oh, that's a demographic that they've lost. The millennial single women were the ones that voted in the 2022 elections for abortion and for the Democrats. That Jesse Waters had to go on Fox and say, fellas, I'm asking you to marry these women because they keep voting left. I don't know if you remember that stance in our clown world. But anyways,
but that goes to what it was that I told you today, that I sent you that voice note, because you have to pay attention. The last 4 years have been so absolutely crazy and insane that we're seeing political shifts from every demographic. Blacks are leaning more conservative. Young males are voting more conservative. Right. Latinos are voting more conservative. Literally every single voting demographic is voting more conservative except young women. Right. Young women under 24 are increasingly becoming more liberal.
Yeah.
So, and you have to ask yourself, what's happening here? Because if the entire collective of the world can see that Democrat policy is destructive and that the right might have some points because we're watching an increase in awareness with all of this demographic, why is it that the one group that we cannot penetrate, that we cannot break into, is this young female vote. And it is because the right is currently, whether it's a psyop on purpose or not noticing, they are alienating them. You are alienating them. Look,
take this off.
I am pro-life. I am very much pro-life. Linda's very much pro-life. But we also have this conversation in all the wrong ways. Because somebody asked me today, well, what should we do if we're not trolling Taylor Swift or whatnot? Then what do you suggest we do to change these young women's mind?
Mind you, I don't know why they even say that, because almost my entire following on social media on Instagram, they're all Swifties and they're all conservative women. So all the girls at Turning Point USA, the very young girls that are 21, 22, 22 years old, they're all Swifties. So this idea that it's only liberal women that listen to this girl is just simply not true. Now, mind you, I'm a Kanye West fan, so I'm not a Taylor Swift fan because we got beef. But I still sympathize with the Swifties because whatever, it is what it is. I don't really care who the hell you listen to on the weekends.
Somebody wrote in the comments, we can't appeal to everyone. They don't like the facts over feelings slogan. It's principle. All right.
That's not principle. That's something problem, that Ben Shapiro
though.
Said.
Here's my problem, that's though, not a principle. And I want to go back. This isn't just anybody. I don't understand what the benefit comes of this. Whether or not people want to admit it or not, whether or not you like it or not, Taylor Swift is by far the single most influential artist of our time. In fact, of any time, because she's even outsold concerts and records to Michael Jackson. So whether or not we agree that her music is good, not good, that she deserves it, is irrelevant. She's one of the most influential artists of her time.
I don't and listen to her. Her following
is predominantly made up of women between young girls, between very young ages of like 10, 11, 12 years old, and women at 30, 32, and so on and so forth. These are the women that are represented by it. So when you say, well, we can't do anything to change these people. They're liberals and they get what it is. Okay, that's fantastic. What you seem to not understand is that Taylor Swift's following is like a cult. I told Linda one time, I'm like, I don't ever piss off the Swifties. I'd rather piss off the Taliban before I piss off the Swifties.
I'd rather go to war. I posted because it today with the neo-Nazis.
They are unhinged. Yeah. So what you don't understand is that if conservatives go online and they start laughing about a really crude AI edited images of Taylor Swift, if conservatives go online and tell Taylor, oh, you're just a single old hag with cats, what you're going to do is that you are going to energize her base to go out and vote in 2024 for no other reason than they hate you.
Literally, that's it.
No other reason because than they emotional. Hate you because they are emotional, yeah. Which is the other point. Going to the Supreme Court and saying women shouldn't vote because they're too emotional is never going to be an argument that's going to work for repealing a woman's right to vote. However, it is in fact a very true argument. Women are in fact very emotional, and as a result, they vote on emotion. So what point are you proving, which goes back to the question that I asked time and time again, what is the net positive outside of your personal satisfaction for making a funny meme about Taylor Swift in making Taylor Swift the representation of the left? What net positive comes at you when all you're doing is pissing off the Swifties, which are millions and millions of women of a voting demographic that, might I remind you, swayed the 2022 midterm elections? Because all you have to do is look at the exit polls there that said that it was young people under the age of 24, predominantly women, that shifted us out of the red wave that we were expecting in 2022. And why was that? Because it was the issue of women's rights. Mm-hmm. And you have to understand that if I was a young girl and I was 18, 20 years old, voting for the first time, and I hear the president telling me these people want to turn it into a handmaid's tale and Republicans want to take your rights away. And then I lean over to what Republicans are talking about and Republicans are telling me repeal the 19th Amendment, get back in the kitchen barefoot and pregnant. I'm going to believe everything that the Democrats are fucking telling me about you people. Yeah. I'm going to think you're weirdos.
I think
you're
you guys crazy, are fucking weirdos.
And then I need to run away from you. And fear-based, we already know that fear-based voting is what gets it every time, right? We got the black vote out in 2020 by telling them that America was the most racist country to ever exist. We got the young women out in 2022 because they thought that they were going to have their right.
We had the Latinos who think that Trump was going to deport them all.
In 2016.
The gays literally said that they were going to be put in concentration camps. I mean, it's like insane, absolutely insane. You know, and with that being said, moving on, can you please, which this goes to, you know, conservatives just being extremely cringe for absolutely no reason at all. Mm-hmm. Can you please play the Charlie Kirk stuff?
Oh, very important, because alienating women before a monumental election wasn't enough. Charlie Kirk decided that he was going to wake up just a few days before Martin Luther King Day, and he was going to put out this banger. Who was MLK? A myth that has been created and it has grown totally out of control. Where is he alive? While he was alive, most people disliked him. Yet today, he is the most honored, worshipped, even defined person of the 20th century. Today, we are going to tell the truth and explain how the myth was born. Happy Monday. Charlie Kirk decided to wake up on Martin Luther King Day and decided that the best course of action was, I'm just going to beef with black people on the internet today.
Literally.
I'm going to beef with black people on the internet. Literally. Now, I posted the entire screen because I wanted to show Kim Klasick's comment where she writes, I'm loving the quote tweets here. Black voters considering voting for Trump in November, now changing their minds. Congrats, I guess. This must have been the goal because what the fuck else could it be?
Yeah.
This is problematic.
Very problematic. This party, very.
And I'm letting you know, because Linda and I had already put out, wait, I want to make sure that I get this out. Linda and I had already put out a video before we went on hiatus of why we were leaving the Republican Party, but I couldn't be more fucking serious about. I hate this party. I think it's cringe as shit. I don't think that you people have a shot in hell of ever winning an election without MAGA Literally, and Donald and without Trump. And I think that the sooner that you're awakened to that reality, you're going to have a rough reality check that you need the young women. You need the minorities. You need the whores. You need every single vote that you can get in order to win an election. Stop treating your party like a VIP list that only certain people with certain lifestyles have access to, or get used to losing. This is the reality of it. Conservatives consistently, I'm so sick of hearing, you're not a real conservative. You're not a real Christian. Oh, you must be a liberal. Oh, you believe in this. No, I'm a moderate, and I genuinely don't care what it is that you're going to call me anymore. And I care about winning elections. In specific, I care about winning elections for America First candidates, which is why I think instead of going on and I talk about what are your solutions? Well, let's talk about some of the solutions. What if instead we became the party that empowered women with things like policy? What if we, you know, how do we get young people to want to get married? How do we get young people to want to have kids when we're living in times with a declining birth rate and declining marriage rates? How about, I don't know, having legislators push out policy that give young people under the age of 27 incentives for getting married and having children? Mm-hmm. What about tax incentives for young women entrepreneurship? You know what's something that sticks out to me all the time that people don't talk about? What? When Donald Trump was president, Latina business owners skyrocketed higher than under any other presidency. Those are wins that people need to talk about. You want to talk about the abortion thing? You know what leftists are tired of hearing about? Oh, we got to save every life. We got to save every life. What happens afterwards? How come conservatives are not talking about extending maternity leave for women, because it's insane and absolutely not traditional that you're forced to go back into the workforce in 9 weeks? How come conservatives are not posting about childcare that would allow people to go to work and still maintain? Conservatives don't talk about this. Conservatives even want to have fights against contraceptives. So now you don't even want people to have contraceptives? I'm sorry. You can have whatever moral argument you want for why you're against contraceptives, but the end goal here is to win elections. The end goal here is to win elections. And we're not going to win elections by alienating women, alienating Black people, alienating minorities. The other day I went on True Social and everybody got mad at me because I said that extremists on the right and the left were annoying, and to both moderates on either side. And I really had conservatives get so hell-bent out of shape because I said there was extremists on our side. I'm sorry. Yes, there are Republican racists. There are Republican misogynists. There are Republican people that feel that they have ownership of the party and that they need to cast judgment on people around them for their ethnicity, their gender, their age, or whatever it is. And the sooner that we stop pretending that that's not part of the cancer, that's also part of the party, then the more that people will take us seriously.
Imagine starting beef with Black people on MLK Day.
Imagine, like, starting beef
for what fucking reason? Like, are you gonna, like,
but then also being
are you gonna like change the history books? Are you gonna, like, bring back MLK? Like, I just, these things are so irrelevant, like, so irrelevant to me. So irrelevant to me. By the way, there's a few people. I see Emery, I see Fairy Princess, I see David saying that they've sent us super chats and they can't see it. I don't know what's going on. I do see Adams, and I think I saw Stacy as well. Thank you so much, Stacy. She said that, you know, she was so excited. I think something. Why can't I see her?
Yeah, she started here. Welcome back, ladies. Welcome back, ladies. So glad you're back.
Oh, you can see them.
I can see them. Here.
Oh, she can see them.
All right, here
okay,
we go.
Okay, hold on.
We
have Sorry, Erica. She can see them.
Yeah, no, I can see them. I can see them. Not Erica here. Coming through, guys. YouTube. Sorry. You can't? Mm-mm. We had Shuda coming through with MPL Fresh and Fit Nick Fuentes 2024. MPL Twitter is lit as fuck. I love how everyone gets the smoke if you mess around. Always. Also, please interview Ian Smith.
Ian Smith is our boy.
Yeah, we can get Ian Smith on.
Yeah, we can
get Ian Smith on. Erica came through with a super sticker. We already went through Adam. We went through Stacy. And we hadn't. Did you send us a super sticker?
I did because I wanted to see what was going on.
Thank you, MPL, for the super sticker.
Me. Yeah.
Thank you, MPL.
Is that Joe?
No, I don't know. Anyways, here's the thing. A recent study, Linda recently posted about this on Twitter. There's a recent study that showed that women, young women just weren't, they didn't feel identified by the party. And I think that we're making a grave mistake by alienating that vote, because I promise you that it is that very vote that Democrats are counting on to win their election in 2024.
I mean, I've been telling you guys on Twitter. Where is it? Sorry, I got distracted with our text messages. Super Signa, Super Chats, maybe. Is that my friend Joe? Hi, Joe. Oh my God, I love Joe. He's the best.
So, next topic at hand. Outside of Taylor Swift, just please, before we finish the topic on Taylor Swift, can you people just please stop losing your fucking minds over Taylor Swift? Taylor Swift, and here's the thing, that you know that we identified the Taylor Swift psyop from the beginning. We're like, the vaccine push, and this is what we're doing. But what you guys don't realize is that there's also the other part of the psyop, which is the more that you attack Taylor Swift, the more you are alienating her millions upon millions upon millions of followers.
They're all insane.
Energizing their base.
The other thing that we wanted to discuss, and let me tell you something of how I actually came very red-pilled, was the child trafficking at the border. When I found out that during the Barack Obama presidency, there had been like 90,000 children that were placed in the hands of human traffickers. Why? Because Democrats tell their voters the sob story that they want to save these children, these immigrant children, these illegals, these asylum seekers. They're the better party. They're the party of kindness. They're the party of hope. They're the party of brown people and immigrants. And what ended up happening was these children came here, all of them underage, all of them, most of them would come without any parents, meaning that the Department of Homeland Security and the Office of Refugee Settlement and Resettlement would get these children, process them super quick, because again, we don't have endless shelters for all of these illegals to stay for months at a time and to live here forever. So then what would the Department of Homeland Security and Office of Refugee do is process these kids as fast as possible and literally give them to any person that claimed them, an AKA sponsor. And so they actually cut through so many legal or so many verification processes to say, like, I'm giving this child to Isabella. Mm-hmm. This is an 11-year-old little girl, and this is actually her aunt. There was no cross verification of DNA, of like connection to that person. It was just literally giving out children to different people. And then those children went completely missing because everything is done by the government. What happens is, you know, people start investigating like, hey, where the hell did 90,000 children go? Has anybody visited? Because that's part of like what you're supposed to do. If you give it to a sponsor, the state is supposed to go and check on these children and make sure that she's not exploiting these children. And what ends up happening is that because you are giving this, a lot of times you are giving these children to traffickers, there's no well visits. There's no checking where these children are. They just can't find the children at all. And so during Obama, what ended up happening was that a bunch of children were found, like teenagers, 12-year-olds, 15-year-olds, majority of them were men, who were found in horrible conditions in a trailer, abandoned with feces all over them, like slaves. And they were working at an egg farm. On an egg farm in Ohio, basically child labor. And so this whole investigation opens up. Nothing ever happens to Obama. You could still see it in the New York Times reported about it, Vox, Fox News, everybody reported it, but no one gave a crap. No one was saying, hey, Obama literally helped traffic 90,000 kids. Well, lo and behold, here comes Trump. And what happens under Trump is they stopped that with family separation at the border because the Trump administration knew exactly the laws and the system when it was being exploited to bring those children here, and those children end up in traffic. I'm sure you guys remember, whether you were pro-Trump or against Trump, that during 2018, 2019, there was an uproar because Trump was separating families at the border, family separation. The entire country, including a lot of Republicans, were saying, no, 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 this is horrible, yada, yada, yada. How could this actually happen? And so what we found out was that the Trump administration comes back and says, yeah, we're separating these children because these people do not belong, or those children do not belong to these people. we have to actually spend so much more money to verify mm-hmm. via DNA mm-hmm. testing. Because what these traffickers were doing was saying, how do you, like the DHA officer, okay, who is this? This is my daughter. How could you prove it? Where's a birth certificate? I don't have one. Right. We left Honduras. Everything burnt down. We're running away from traffickers. We're running away. And so now you don't even have verification. You don't even have proof that that is your child. Trump gets in. These people have to be separated until there's some sort of confirmation that, yes, that child belongs to you. Fast forward, we're here now, 90,000 children under the Biden administration are completely missing. And whistleblowers are coming through or coming forward and saying, hey, like we're raising the alarm. We're ringing the alarm because these children, we don't know where they are. All of them, every single one of them are underage kids between the ages of like 10 years old and like 17 years old missing. We don't know where they are. And so I don't know if you guys, for those of you that follow me on social media on Wake Up with Linda, I don't get that much hate, but I do get hate every once in a while. And a lot of times is people, no, on Wake Up with Linda's, not that much, on Twitter more. But it's really, I've had minority racists, right? I either get blacks or I get my own people, Latinos, who mm-hmm. hate me because I'm a Republican and because I'm a Trump supporter. And so they immediately go into race calling, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, you think you're white, you know, yada, yada, all the fucking stupidity that they talk about. And it's crazy because they never mention how the party that they support allows the exploitation of the brown people that they mm-hmm. love so much. They never talk about it. Democrats and liberals never talk about these children that are trafficked and exploited either for sex or for working purposes or for both.
I wanted to post this one right here. Let me share this article with you guys, which says, amid a child labor crisis, U.S. state governments are loosening regulation. So basically what you guys are seeing, and you'll actually pay attention to legislation, what's happening is that they're lowering the age of when kids can work and how long they can work for. And that actually coincides with the fact that we are seeing a child labor epidemic in the States that we had never before encountered. I think it was like a Hyundai factory that they found a bunch of migrant kids working in the Hyundai factory. And we're seeing more and more examples of this kind of illegal child labor happening. Mm-hmm. And it's not a coincidence. And like you just mentioned, it's on the backs of brown people.
It is.
And it is.
Which, it literally is.
We've talked about this so many times when at least when I'm talking to a liberal, right, or somebody that looks at the perspective like, oh, why do you want to shut down the border? Don't you want people to have the same opportunities? To me, there is nothing more inhumane than not creating a humane path for entryway into the United States. If you're telling me that the only way that, you know, If an African immigrant wanted to come, if somebody in the Caribbean wanted to come, if a European wanted to come, they'd be able to go through a legal process, file paperwork, get on an airplane, get here mm-hmm. safely, go through processes. And you're telling my brown people, you're telling Latinos that they have to go through a dangerous trajectory of miles and miles and miles of desert and mountainous land, dangerous land where they can make themselves susceptible to. Let me actually take this article out so that we can go back to our main screen. But that you're making yourself, these people susceptible to being attacked. You're making these children and these immigrants susceptible to being attacked, to being raped, to being killed on this journey to cross our border. And it's nothing more inhumane and more insulting as a Latino to hear that the way that you're granted entryway into this country is by having to go through that process.
Well, and also, you know, when it comes to a lot of these feminists, and I should probably bring this up on Twitter just to like rattle, you know, some feathers. Is that how you say it? Rattle up the crowd, just to ruffle some feathers. Is that, you know, if you are a true feminist, because you care about women mm-hmm. protection, women rights, women, whatever you want to call it, you should be talking about the fact that 1 in 3 women are raped when they come through the U.S. border. I don't know how you, as a feminist who's screeching at the top of her lungs about women rights, and men are so dangerous and they're mm-hmm. raping us and mm-hmm. they're killing us and yada, yada. And you don't care that there's these vulnerable women brown women, which a lot of you guys love the brown people, coming through the border and they get raped and a lot of times they get killed. You know that whenever you talk to Custom Border Patrol agents, you know what they tell you happens at the border after these women are raped? The coyotes get their underwear, their bras, their panties, and they hang them on trees like trophies. It's disgusting what happens. On top of the fact that it happens to children. You know, there's been horrible things that happen to teenagers, to, you know, younger women that are also raped by these men. Yeah. And so, it, you know,
and you know, another point to make, and not to cut you off, but go to the pages of people like Natalie Denise when she's at the border, of Jorge Ventura when he's at the border. And you're going to see the same trend over and over again that every single one of them can confirm for you. These kids are coming into this border with men. Mothers are not sending their children off into the United States by themselves. These women are losing their lives in the process, and their children are staying with the criminals that did that to them. Yeah. There's a reason why men outnumber women at the border.
Yeah, of course. It's really scary. Ana Paulina does a great job. Before this all went down, Rep. Luna from Pinellas County, and she... what she had to say about family separation at the border was, no, actually, it's a great thing. And it's a great thing because we get to cross-reference or verify if indeed those children belong to those people. And she's right. She's really right. And she's brave to say that. Look, Veronica says, my husband is a border patrol. And the things they do to them is unimaginably disturbing. On top of the fact that a lot of these men, like your husband, half families, half children. Yesterday, I saw a horrible image of a border patrol bleeding out of his head because an illegal threw a rock at him and almost killed him. There has been 640 members of Custom Border Patrol, I forgot in what time frame, if it's 6 months in a year, attacked by illegals at the border, risking their lives to, you know, protect Americans. Now, don't forget how many heavy Latino populations there are near those borders, right? Which they are completely against open borders because a lot of times those same Latinos are being affected by these illegal immigration. So I go under the Univision comment section yesterday, which I was, by the way, you guys weren't picking up, neither you or Anthony. I was cracking up on myself for like an hour trying to see who would like laugh with me because I go on the Univision page on Instagram. And I go to the comment section of the Univision stuff, and it's all comment after comment after comment after comment about Trump. Bring back Trump. It's going to be Trump. Why? There was this lady that was like, you can't scare us anymore. We know where you're up to.
Like, there was somebody that called them like, you need something and tell a lie.
Tell a lie. Some lady was like, you know, I hope Trump comes back so they can close down Univision. And it was like, 90% or more, you know, these Spanish-speaking Latinos pro-Trump, and the remaining 5 to 10% are Biden voters. Mm-hmm. That's going to be, I think, the biggest shocker that we're going to see. I still think, like I told Bala yesterday,
the Latino and the Black vote.
The Latino is going to go for both Blacks and Latinos are going to predominantly vote Democrat always for now. But I think this year we're going to be shocked, particularly for the Latino population. I think we're going to be more shocked.
Me personally, my money is, and think we're going to be more shocked by the exit polls of how Black Americans voted. Mm-hmm. And the only reason why I say that is because I feel like the same kind of, I don't feel like either party knows how to actually target Latinos. And this is a conversation that we've had plenty of times.
Yeah, but the economy alone, because the difference between the African-American and the Latino is that Latinos don't really belong here. Like, the African-Americans have been here for 400 years, right? I know people are going to have discussions about Mexico once belong. Okay, but let's say the rest, like, the think about your generation, your grandparents, right? Two, three decades or two, like, generations. And so, to the majority of the Latinos, they're here to work. They're here to work. The majority of Latinos are here to work. It's economic opportunity and safety. It's very different than the African-American that has been here for the last 400 years. They're true Americans as well. And they have been more brainwashed to care about social issues. Go compare the comment section between Univision and then go to the Shade Room or go to Hollywood mm-hmm. Unlocked, and you still have overwhelmingly majority of Black people saying, we don't want Trump.
Right.
You know, today.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if I agree with it. Remember the other day we sat down in my house and we were reading the comments of World Star when Piles had said, you know, fuck Trump or whatever it was that he had said. And every single comment that we read was a positive one for Trump. So I think that we are watching a shift in demographic. I don't know. Linda and I are placing bets. You guys tell us in the chat. Yeah. She thinks that they're going to get somewhere between 18 to 20% of the Black vote. Republicans.
He got 12 last time.
I think he might break 20. I'd say 21.6%, like if this was the Price is Right. Like listen, that's if he that's
goes
my
from,
bet.
Even if he goes from 12 to 18, that's still a big fucking
it's
deal.
It's a huge deal.
You know?
It's like, a huge deal.
Still a deal. Now, Latinos, Trump got 36% of Latino vote last time. Yeah. Now, his approval rating right now is at 42 with Latinos, which means he could technically get almost over 40% of the vote.
El titán, like my dad calls him.
That's what the parents, you know.
That's what the parental units call him. Yeah. All right, guys, let's take a couple of questions in the chat. Guys, I'm so for those of you that have sent us a message, and we'll follow up with YouTube if you have, if it really was deducted from your bank account. Other than that, I guess you can also try like our Cash App and like our.
We have the PayPal and our link in bio. We're self-funded for now. Obviously, we didn't cancel the show. We took a break, so we don't have sponsors at this moment. 100% self-funded.
No, we are looking, no lizard people. As you can, you
we are looking to get our own studio so that we obviously can record more and we can do a lot more cool stuff. So that's a project that we have this year. You know, let us know in the chat if you have any questions before we let you guys go. And thank you for waiting for us. We haven't been in the studio in a bit. So we have, you know, someone new here that was trying to help us out with the setup and stuff like that. And so things were a little bit of a delay,
but we're going to get it together, guys. We promise.
Ariella says, I'm from Texas and my mom's family is from Tamaulipas, Nuevo Laredo, Mexico. I had a huge issue growing up seeing myself as a Republican because the public school system took a lot of growing up. That's what they say, right? If you are a Republican, what is it, after the age of 30?
If you're not a Republican before 30, you have if you're not a Democrat before 30, you have no heart. If you're a Democrat past 30, you have no brain.
Yeah. Carlos says, who do you think is going to be Trump's pick as VP?
I think
it's going to be a man. I think it's going to be a man. And, you know, I don't know. I know that people have. At first, I thought he was going to choose Byron Donalds. But I think Byron Donalds may actually be. He would be better to stay here in Florida and be the governor of Florida because DeSantis mm-hmm. is done. He can't run another, you know, election or another cycle. Mm-hmm. So I think that. Maybe Ben Carson would be a good one. A lot of people said Carrie Lake. A lot of people say Vivek. My problem with those two individuals is not actually anything that's wrong with them per se, but that they are very MAGA, right? And so when you think of the party and you think of getting all these Republican votes outside of what you would consider the MAGA vote, you need to think of those traditional Republicans as well.
Which is why Mike Pence,
and also for the evangelical, like a lot of things are done strategically. Like at the end of the day, you know, somebody like Vivek can have a much bigger role than the VP. I mean, how many times were you eager to freaking hear from, like, you know, Mike Pence? Like, not a lot of times. But I think that, you know, what would be ideal would be a Trump-Kennedy ticket.
That's
what would be ideal. That's what would really unite like a lot. Like he would steal so many votes.
Would unite the country.
Now, I don't think that Kennedy would ever accept it. I don't think Kennedy would ever accept it.
I think that's like my dream ticket. And it's all for strategic purposes. Not because I think that Kennedy's like this. We basically disagree on just about everything except the vaccines. But I do think it would be an incredibly unifying ticket after what's been very divisive kind of like several election cycles. It could be very healing and very unifying, and it would attract moderates. And I think that one of the best things that came out of the DeSantis campaign is that DeSantis ran his campaign so far right that it made Trump look like a moderate. Mm-hmm. Like what they use the attacks like, oh, you're just voting for a New York Democrat, actually makes him a moderate and more appealing to independent voters. I agree with your take that it probably won't be like a Carrie Lake or a Vivek or right. anyone that's that MAGA, because you need to be able to attract that other portion of the base that's maybe not 100% sold on Trump. They think that he's problematic for the party, that he's not Christian enough, that he's had too many divorces, blah, 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 blah. So it's got to be somebody a little bit more cookie cutter. I tend to lean towards the Ben Carson pick because it's a minority.
Carson's such a great guy.
And they've also had, they've had a standing relationship, like working, understanding, if you will, with Carson.
You know that Ben Carson and his wife share like an Instagram, like everything they share, it's like they only share, like it's like Ben and I forgot her name. It's like Ben and blah 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 Carson.
Are
so like yes, they have like one of those like joint accounts. They're so cute. I met his wife. Yeah.
Somebody asked about Stefanique. Here's what I'll say about Stefanique.
No, I don't think it's gonna be a woman.
Not my ideal choice, and I wouldn't pick her either. But one thing that I do know is that she's been ramping up her fundraising efforts. Because I don't stop getting calls and text messages.
Well, because she's very pro-Israel. She pretty much was the one that was giving all the shit to the anti-Semitic. Well, I wouldn't call them anti-Semitic, but the college situation or whatever. And, you know, I don't think it should be a woman. There's actually a lot of stuff that I know behind the scenes about Kristi Noem, which I will not say because I personally like Kristi. Like I like Governor Noem and I think she's great. But I think there's a lot of things that could potentially be scandals for her that would look terrible. Bad. And so I don't know if, and I know Trump knows about him. A lot of people do.
Right.
So I think that a woman would be a little bit,
women are so emotional.
They're so emotional.
We had also, who else was this other woman?
Nancy Mace.
Nancy Mace.
But he just endorsed them and she's never been too, like, she's always, you know, the thing about Nancy Mace that I like about her is that she had this viral video on TikTok, which I posted and the Groypers all came after me. That's when, you know, the Groypers began their hate towards us.
The Groypers, listen, they have a love-hate relationship.
Yeah, they have a love-hate
relationship. Some days they wake up and they hate us. Yeah, some days they wake up and they love us and they say we're based.
Right.
They don't know how they feel about us.
Basically, what I posted was a video of her, of Nancy Mace, and she was talking about, you know, Republicans, sure, we overturn Roe v. Wade, but what can we do in return for women? Can we offer childcare? Can we offer extended maternity leave? What about contraceptives? Mm-hmm. She was just talking like, okay, we took this away, which you and I know that nothing was taken away, right? We know that it was just a constitutional thing that it goes back to the states, and women in many states, and even in this state, can still get an abortion. Mm-hmm. But her point was, how can we give like an offering to that side? She brings up childcare. She brings up, you know, all these things. The video was viral on TikTok. It had hundreds of thousands of comments of young women saying, wow, how come I've never heard her before? Mm-hmm. Who is she? I don't know who she is. How come they never put this Republicans in front of us? Like they're always posting fucking Mitch McConnell and like all these weirdos. And they were very, there was a lot of receptive and positive feedback about her. So I think she could be an asset to Trump for a fact during the election cycle. Uh-huh. But I don't think that she's anywhere near
as like a top 10. Like
no.
I know that, also been like rumors that it's going to be Tucker Carlson. I think that would be a horrible pick because it's just too easy to write it off as like the reality TV star and the newscaster, like running a campaign. It's just, I don't think that would be a good pick. But yeah, I guess that it's hard. Somebody said Tulsi. I don't know. I feel like if he was going to go with a Democrat, like, and really try and find number one that, JFK, Robert Kennedy is already running third party. So he's not running as a Democrat. Right. So that opens up more the possibilities. Tulsi is a little bit of a, I don't know. I don't think that she's like a pro-Trumper. I don't think that she necessarily aligns with us. I don't know if that would be the right use of a VP role, which is a VP pick is supposed to gather a base that maybe
a VP is very strategic.
Right.
It really isn't about like you liking them or not. It's like a strategic partnership. You understand, to try to bring in other people that perhaps Trump doesn't appeal to. And I think Vivek, the Vivek and Trump, they both appeal to the same crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's the same for Carrie Lake. And correct. I think we need an extension of that. And I don't think it's them. But I would like to see Vivek be placed in something very strategic.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I think that he could be good for some cabinet.
He could be a unifier of sorts.
Well,
I saw him on the Breakfast Club talking to Chardonnay right. the other day, and he's
schooling him because Chardonnay is retarded.
He's got a way, and you know how people are. They see him and they see a minority, and it is what it is. Yeah. The same way they see us, and they're like just more receptive to it because it's like it's not some like old white dude talking to about these things.
Oh my God, this is that is the only woman that I approve of. Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
We love Sarah Huckabee.
I love her. I loved it. I loved her even more than Kayleigh McEnany when she was VP.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, press secretary. She was my favorite press secretary of all times. I loved her. I would love her. I know she's a very serious woman. There's no drama attached to her. Like, this is a straight up, it would be ideal. But how are we going to leave Arkansas like that?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, how are we going to leave the she's doing great stuff in her state.
I love Donald. I thought for a long time I was cheering on for Brian Donalds, but I do think that
he would be good in Florida.
He would be good in Florida. And I do think like it's Carson's time. Like he's at that point where that could potentially come. Guys, again, to those of you that have sent super chats and we haven't seen them, we're so sorry. We don't know exactly what's going on, but send us a little message after so we can follow up with YouTube. Rafaela, thank you for your super.
So
we can't
much.
See it, but thank you for that.
Victoria and also.
Thank you to Victoria.
So somebody asked, how are you two so educated on all these issues? I always learn from you. Thank you so much.
My mental illness makes me hyper-focused.
Because our schizophrenia makes us like this. I don't know. We spent a lot of time, like, technically we're both home all day and we work. I mean, like, you know,
we work from home,
but like, I don't know. I feel like we have the capacity. Like I have the capacity to learn so much from
okay. How can we say this blatantly without people thinking we're crazy? A lot of it is intuitively based. I really can't explain it to you. Like it's very intuitively where something doesn't sit right. And then we start with our crazy research and start putting things together. But it's always that initial kind of like intuitive point where we smell something and we're like, this smells odd. This smells fishy. And then we're like, we need to prove what's wrong here. What are we looking at? So I don't know how we stay so informed, but you know, we're here and we're grateful that you guys, we were really talking about it today. We're like, our followers are just so based because people on the internet just get so triggered about everything. And our followers are really like
Catherine has beef with me.
Catherine is beefing with us because he hates titties.
No, you know what? Before we let you guys know, you know, there's this one picture that I wish we can post, the one with the sex workers and Catherine.
Mm-hmm.
Just to show you guys how unifying the Trump ticket is, because he brings together a lot of people that you and I don't necessarily even see eye to eye. Like today I was posting on my Instagram, like gothic people, you know what I mean? Are pro-Trump people. And so, that's right, the electoral stuff. And so there's this girl, she's a sex worker. She's an OnlyFans girl. Her name is Ana Braga. You guys may follow her. She's super cool. She's very, very nice. And on Twitter, and you know, she's a sex worker. She does OnlyFans, right? What can I say? But she's a Trump supporter. And so is the other hot chicks that are OnlyFans. They're all Trump supporters. And I saw and then I guess Catherine has beef with them because Catherine is like an older MAGA boomer, conservative, whatever. Very conservative guy. He doesn't like titties. He doesn't want to see girls in bathing suits. He wants wholesome content. And I guess they've gone at it before. And so to promote her OnlyFans, she posts a picture of her and the other girl in the bikini. And then she's like, what do you guys say? Like, Catherine says that women shouldn't wear bikinis. What do you guys say? And I send it to her. And I'm like, if this is not all MAGA beefs, like all Trump supporters are beefing, like the sex workers with the MAGA boomers, like I'm fucking beefing with gropers. Like, but at the end of the day, he brings together all these other people that really nobody else can.
Nobody else can. That's why to me, it's like, stop alienating. Like, one of the most beautiful, magical things about Donald J. Trump is his ability to unify.
Right.
His ability to bring people together. Right. You ever been to a MAGA rally? Have you guys ever been to a MAGA rally? Have you ever felt that energy of excitement and fun? And it's almost like, oh my God, you're like, you're riding like a high of like emotions. Mm-hmm. Like people are so nice and the energy is so up. There's a reason for that. It's Donald Trump. It's his dragon energy that does that. And when you can have a sex worker look at Donald Trump and be like, well, shit, I was paying less taxes with my OnlyFans and I was doing better financially. But then you can also look at Cat Turd and be like, I love Donald Trump because he's the only one that can usher in policy that will be accepted, you know, a conservative policy that will be accepted nationwide. You look at these two very different people with two different very lifestyles and two very different reasons for being energized to vote for Donald Trump. And only Donald Trump can do that. Only Donald Trump can do
My mom, you also have to think on the average voter. My mom, obviously, she doesn't pay attention like we pay attention or anything like that. And, you know, she's in her own little housewife world. And she calls me the other day and she's like, in Spanish, she's like, who is this Nikki person? Like, who is this Nikki person that they're talking about on television? She's something to do with politics. And I was like, mom, she's running against Trump. And my mom was like, how dare she? Like, how dare she? And, you know, like, people don't even know this. Women exist, I guess. Like my mom did not know, and
There people are just like one like tunnel vision, Donald Trump, right?
And my mom is a new voter because she just became a citizen last year. She was very upset that she had to swear under Biden because you know, like when you do a swearing ceremony, they give you a paper. Like mine says Obama because I did it under Obama. And so hers says Biden, and she was, like, so pissed. She's like, oh, I can't believe, like, you know, I have to, like, pretend, like, swearing. And he does, like, a little message on TV and stuff. And, like, fuck this guy. I wish I would have been Trump. But she's going to be a new voter. So the sim goes out. My mom takes the vote. You see how this works?
Bye, the sims. Bye. So all of you saying, we're not going to vote.
And I bet you there's going to be a bunch of new immigrants that get citizenship that are going to vote for Trump.
That are going to vote for Trump. This is true. I promise you. Guys.
We've come to the end of our show.
So next week, we're not going to talk about it yet because y'all know we got haters, but we're going to be somewhere next week.
Oh, that's right. We're going to be somewhere big. We're going to be somewhere big next week.
When we get there and we're already there, we'll be posting on our social medias to let y'all know where we're going to be.
We can stream there.
Yes, we can stream there. Well, that night we're going to be able to stream the episode that we have.
Oh, that's right. With Sterling
Cooper. We've got a video that we recorded, so we'll be streaming next Thursday, pre-recorded episode, but we will be in the chat, hyping y'all up, answering questions. We interviewed Sterling Cooper.
Again.
Reformed porn star.
That's
allegedly reformed. No, he doesn't do porn anymore. But we did interview Sterling Cooper, and we got a little bit of conversations into like the red pill and perspectives or whatnot. It was actually a very good, a pretty good episode. So we'll be here next week, guys. Once again, to those of you that send super chats and we didn't get them, please send us a message. Like if you guys have, if there was an issue, that's fine. But if your bank showed some kind of like a deduction and we didn't get that, please get in contact with us so that we can follow up with YouTube and make sure that your contribution goes to us and not to the lizard people. We'll be here. We're working on getting our own studio. You might see the background change a little bit while we're getting things together, but guys, we will be here every week, 9:30 p.m. effective immediately. We're so back, baby.
We're so back. And we'll have the audio version in case you guys missed it, whatever. You want to hear it in the car, we'll have it tomorrow as well. So thank you so much and have a great night.
Have a great one, guys. Thanks for tuning in.
Is it done?